Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Morning. So good to see you. Happy you're joining us for Soap today. Whether you're watching later on via podcast, Spotify, or you're live with us here on 6 a.m. Zoom Soap, we're just so grateful that you're jumping into the Word of God. One thing I know is when we choose to press in, God always returns back to us. So I love that it's never just us trying to find something out in the nether, but we get to sit down and meet with Jesus himself. And God is faithful to meet us when we choose to engage with him. So just honoring the fact that you're with us today and just pressing in. So come on, let's pray. And we're going to dive into Psalm chapter 100. Father, thank you, Lord, that you've given us your written word. God, that we have this to lead us, to guide us, and to challenge us. So, Lord, I just pray, help us get uncomfortable today. Help us shake off the old today and embrace that you have new things coming for us. We praise in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said amen, amen. All right, listen, get your sip of coffee in, shake off the tired. You got a papa right here of a three-month-old that slept 6 straight hours last night. So he's ready to go. And he's caffeinated in Jesus' name. So I'm hoping you're ready to go with me. If not, you're coming for the trip. but we're going to be in Psalm chapter 100, and I'm reading from a translation called the Christian Standard Bible. So if you'd like to follow along word for word, or if you like your translation that you'd like to read, be sure to drop some verses inside of the chat, because I love when our different translations word things just a little bit differently. Helps us get a little more insight into some of the verses. So let's dive right on in. It's Psalm chapter 100. Starts off, it says, "Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gate with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his faithful love endures forever. His faithfulness through all generations." Ooh, this was good. Shout, serve, and sing, sheep. Man, she's preaching it for us. Come on. Whenever I do the soap, I get so excited when I get chapters that are fun to unpack. I have found that at many times, and this is just the Lord's sense of humor, he loves challenging me and unpacking the Word of God. The chapter either has 50 to 60 verses, and we spend our first 10 minutes reading together, or it's about numbers from the Old Testament, and I'm sitting here thinking, what are we going to talk about today? But God is faithful. But we are in Psalm 100, and it's a packed out 5 verses. And as someone just shared, a good chapter breakdown to shout, serve, and sing. These are 3 great words to carry into a chapter like this. And we are literally just going to go line by line, verse by verse. When we have short chapters like this, we could just take each verse and pull application points. And I am praying that God opens our hearts so these application points speak to us today. So number one, it says, "Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord." If you read the New International Version, if I'm correct by memory, it says, "Make a joyful shout," or "shout joyfully unto the Lord." And this is where all my New International Version people let me know if I'm right or not, or at least close. Okay. It's off memory. So give me some grace. but let the whole earth shout. So for a long period of time, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. I was pretty close. So for a long time, I was a diehard soccer fan. Do we have any soccer fans with us today? That's like, yes, I used to love watching the MLS, maybe like watching La Liga, the Premier League. I used to spend my Saturdays pretty much just watching soccer half the time. I would flip back and forth between, you know, all of the different European just teams and everything. Pittsburgh Roverhounds. Oh, what? What about the Philadelphia Union? You're killing me. You're killing me. We'll talk about it though. we just rep our Philly sports. However, I was a diehard Real Madrid fan from La Liga over in a different, you know, over in Spain. And I loved watching that team. You'll probably know their key player at the time when I loved to watch. It was Cristiano Ronaldo. If you're familiar with the name, when I was watching soccer, he was just huge, huge, huge. He used to play constantly against his rival, Lionel Messi. And it was like a huge deal because whenever they played, it was like the two go head to head and head to head and head to head. And I used to love it. Me and all my friends would get together and we would just throw, you know, we would have incredible just, you know, let's grab the pizza. Let's grab the snacks. We are couching it for the next couple hours and watching these teams go head to head. We used to love it. And we got word one day in 2012, and that was the year that we all graduated high school. We got word that Real Madrid was visiting to go against the Philadelphia Union here on our soil. So when a team comes from around the world to come play, and these are some of your favorite players, you better believe we had, I can't even tell you how many sweaty teenagers in one row lining the front of the stadium. And it was so cool. And you guys know, we had a good connection for tickets and what that feeling is like when you're just like in that front row right next to them. So we're watching the game. And when I say the electricity in the atmosphere was supernatural, like you just felt it in your bones, and the way that people would shout, cheering on their favorite players. Some people were just there, not because they were Real Madrid fans, the big world team fan, but because they wanted to see the Philadelphia team, the underdogs, beat them. And the shout was loud. And I remember sitting there, and I have a recording on one of my old phones. I turned around and had to record the stadium going ballistic as they had their towels in the air going around in circles, jumping up and down. And you could hardly hear the game happening because the stadium was making so much noise. And when I was making this soap, this story came back to me. And all I could think was, if we have a stadium filled with people shouting for joy unto a sports team, how much more could we, the church, come on somebody, could we, the church, shout for joy unto the ultimate coach, the champion of our salvation, the one who deserves it all? I want to tell you, I want my shout to be loud when it comes to the things of God. I want my shout to be loud when I'm giving my praise to God. I want to be filled with joy, because when I'm in a stadium filled with people and I hear them cheering on their favorite players, whoo, I want to be in a stadium called the church. Come on, somebody. And I want to hear the shout unto our God for everything he's done for us, everything he's doing. Come on, somebody. And everything he's going to do. So let the whole earth shout triumphantly. I want to break into this word triumphant for a moment, because I think the nature of our song, the nature of our shout, the nature of how we go about worship, the nature of how we give praise to God, it is triumphant. What it means is it overcomes. And you might be here today, and I want to speak with a little bit of sensitivity, because there's so much going on inside of life, world, culture, our nation, especially like in this week. I know so many of us have so many different mixed feelings. I want to tell you, our triumphant nature does not come from anything else other than who it's placed in. Come on now. I triumph because my hope, my shout, my song, my joy is not rooted in the things of this world, which are temporary. They are rooted in an eternal God, and it's triumphant. So if you're here, you're listening right now, and you may not feel triumphant. You may not feel like you are overcoming in different areas of your life. But I want to tell you, many times I start overcoming when I start living triumphant. When I start looking at the problem as nothing more than an opportunity inside of work clothes. Come on now. I want to look at my marriage and spouses, where are we at? Come on, press in with me here. Because you know what it's like, because suddenly you have the off few days inside of the home and things just change. Sometimes it's the off few months, right? And things just change. Sometimes you have your firstborn child and things just change, right? Hey, and it just feels off and you don't feel like you're overcoming. I want to tell you, the overcoming nature, the victory doesn't always happen before your shout, before your song. I want to tell you, so often we start shouting unto God, Lord, thank you. Lord, I'm so grateful you're in my life. God, I'm so grateful that while this plan seems messy right now, you are working it out for our good and for your glory. I shout triumphantly from the nature I have inside of him and my destiny, not my current reality. Come on, we don't want to live just based on our current reality when God has a greater destiny. Come on, somebody, right? Shout triumphantly. It goes on, verse 2, it says this, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. When I read this verse last night, I almost had like a PTSD flashback, and I might trigger some folks today, and I love you. Just know I love you. But I was reading this verse, it said, serve the Lord with gladness. And first thought that comes to my head is, oh man, I really do love serving God. And I love being a part of a church. Come on now. I love being a part of Fusion Church that genuinely loves to serve God, that doesn't go through the motions, that understands that joy in serving Jesus is one of the most important things that we could have in this life. However, I have been a part of churches, houses, and people groups, and I may trigger you in this. I love you. Please know. When we say we grow joyful in Jesus, but suddenly the more we mature inside of Christ, the less we smile. Have we ever been around those folks? When the more mature in Christ, it seems like their smile starts to go upside down. And they're a little more unhappy than normal. I've been in those churches. I've pastored those churches. When they told me, Pastor, you can't crack so many jokes when you preach. You can't smile as much when you preach. The word of God is serious. And I just said, my Bible tells me the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit inside of the kingdom of God manifested here on the earth is three things, says the book of Romans: righteousness, peace, and joy. So if I don't have joy, I am missing God on the earth today. So I'm going to live with joy in absolutely everything I do. How many things, church? Everything we do, we want to have joy inside of it. It says serve with joy. I want to tell you, so many of us, and I'm going to challenge you here, press in with me, lean in with me right now. So many of us are growing up right now. Every last one of us, that is one process that we are not exempt from. We are all in the midst of growing up. But here's one thing I've noticed and something that God's been challenging me in. Just because I'm growing up doesn't mean I'm maturing. Come on now. Just because I'm growing up doesn't mean my character, my heart, my devotion to God, my devotion to my family doesn't necessarily always mean it's growing alongside it. I want to make sure that as we are growing, come on, and as we're starting to get some grays, come on now, as we're all growing up, we are not just growing in age, we are actually maturing together. One of the ways that we mature is inside of our joy. Because our joy is the root foundation of everything we have inside of Christ. And you may not feel joyful today. You may be sitting here thinking, Pastor, you have no idea my problems. You have no idea how many things, circumstances are coming against me. Pastor, I'm pretty sure that I need to drag my boss to the Freedom Conference. I'm pretty sure I have to drag my boss to a Soul Care Conference because, Lord, they need deliverance in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Like, they need some help. And then once they get out, I've got a therapist for them. Come on now. Coming from someone that goes to therapy, right? But joy, 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 joy is the root foundation of everything we do and everywhere we go. I want to be sensitive to where you are today, but I want to challenge you to take a step of maturity and joy today, because I truly believe that when circumstances come against us, when the boat comes rocking and the wind comes blowing, that we can still have joy in the middle of the storm. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve him with joy. As Colossians would tell us in chapter 3, when it comes to serving God, we do not want to grow faint or weary in doing good, because a harvest is coming in due time. I want to tell you, in our serving and how we go about what we do for God, which is really should be everything, I want to tell you the harvest is coming, church. The harvest is coming for you. But I find so often the harvest comes when God gets my attitude and my heart matured to actually receive the harvest and steward it correctly. Because here's what I know. If God brought us somewhere too quickly, we would just ruin it. Come on now. If God gave me what I wanted today, I would just blow it. I remember one day I was praying. I was like, Lord, you want to know what? I could do a lot with $2 million. And I mean, like, hear me. I'm not the frivolous guy, right? I'm usually the guy that wears George by Walmart. Come on, somebody. Goodfellow by Target, right? What do you want to call it? Target. I wear Target. I am an Amazon basics guy. This is where I live. I'm not the frivolous guy. And I was like, Lord, I'm telling you, if you supernaturally did it, we could make some impact inside of South Jersey. And I remember the Lord just saying to me, he said, son, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. And obviously he knows, but he's just challenging me. And he followed up, he's like, all I know is if I gave you what you're praying for, it would destroy you. And all I could think was, God, thank you for preserving me and taking care of me and my heart and what you're doing inside of me. Sometimes, hear me, press in, lean into this. Sometimes God withholds the blessing. Sometimes God withholds the final destination of where we're going, because we very simply have to start serving with joy and understanding it's a heart work before it's an outside work. Come on, somebody, serve with joy. That's what I'm grateful for, though. This is something I hold dear. And this is all of you. Here in our church, people serve with joy. I don't see a ton of people going through the motions. I don't see a ton of people just walking in and trying to get out as fast as possible. I see people who are inspired and enthusiastic about the goodness of God here inside of the land of living. So come on, if you needed a reason to pat yourself on the back today, if you need a reason to say, all right, I'm doing something right, know this, you are serving God with joy. Now, I want to extend a challenge to you in this. Come on, this is a good application for this point. Where we serve God is not just inside of the walls of the church. Woo, man. Do you feel your heart getting pricked a little bit? I hope so. If not, I'm going to keep going for it. We don't just serve God on a Sunday morning. I was challenged by God this past week. I was pressing into Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, extending from the Beatitudes into being salt and light. And as I was looking at that, I was tying it right to what we were talking about today, serving God with joy. And when I was looking at it, I started feeling this burning passion in me that we have to move from having sacred Sunday and secular Monday into sacred Sunday, sacred Monday, come on, sacred Tuesday, sacred Wednesday, sacred Thursday, sacred Friday, sacred Saturday. Because I want to tell you, I don't want to just leave the presence of God inside of the four walls, but I want to take him everywhere I go. And that means when I clock in on Monday morning, I am there to serve in my job with joy. I am walking in there on mission. I'm not going to separate that which is sacred and that which is secular, because God has called me, come on now, to be salt and light everywhere I go. And I'm going to do it with joy. I'm going to walk in the places and I'm going to let the Spirit of God, which is on the inside of me, penetrate the atmospheres around me. And I want to tell you, joy is an incredible influencer. Let one person ask you, why are you so happy when the boss gets on us? Come on now, let one person ask. Let one person ask when you're going through an unjust situation, say, how are you so happy? Come on. Let one person ask when they know about the mess in your life, how do you have so much peace right now? Well, I want to tell you, I serve a God with joy. Come on now. All right. I beat that verse up. Serve him with joy. Verse 3, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. For all of my rap fans out there, if you're with me in this one, you're going to appreciate this. Romans chapter 11, verse 36 goes a little something like this. Everything is from him, through him, and to him. To him be all the glory. And if you're a rap fan, you know that's a bar. Come on now. From him, through him, to him. Like it's tough. I always read Romans 11, 36, and I always get fired up because I'm like, whoo, it's from, through, and to, baby. I want to tell you, this is a way to live our life. And it ties directly into this verse. He made us and we are his. Everything we have is from him. You know, I have started to implement into my life a certain framework of how I kind of approach things. Because I had an individual come to me and they said, wow, knowing where you came from and where you are today is just incredible. And we know, you worked so hard for it. Like you are a self-made man, I would say, in how you pushed and accomplished the things you've accomplished. And I looked at them and said, I never want to be that. And they said, what? My reply was, I am not a self-made man, and my work didn't get me here. I will tell you, God made, and the grace he gave me got me here today. And I'm grateful that it was God made and grace gave that got us here. From him, through him, and to him. From him, we've received. Through him, we get to do. And to him goes all the glory. Come on, somebody, right? Let me reframe this in the way that we are, in the way we look at life. Ready? Because when we are talking about God and him making us, things being from him, through him, and to him, and us belonging to him, we are serving a God that is triune in nature. I'm going to get a little theological on you this morning. If you're in bed, you may fall asleep in the next 45 seconds. I love you. So we serve a God that is three parts in one. If you haven't heard this before, I'm excited to share with you. If you have, this is a great refresher on some theology. We serve God the Father, which we see all throughout Scripture. When Jesus is on the earth, he is proclaiming Abba, Father. He's talking about his dad, God the Father in heaven. Jesus is the Son, right? He is the one that comes on the earth, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The one that we see that is the manifest presence of the Father on the earth is the extension of him. And then after Jesus, we see the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is equally God as the other two and now deploys us and expresses Jesus or the Father here on the earth. I want to tell you, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all equally God. Not one of them is jealous of the other one. Not other one looks at the other one and says, why are you praying in Jesus' name and not the Holy Spirit's name? I want to promise you, there is a beauty that comes to God being triune yet one in nature. We can understand about 25% of that just in information alone, but in function, we understand little bits and pieces. I want to share this with you. The Father, Son, and Spirit. And if you're a note taker, this is for you today. The Father designs, Jesus declares, and the Holy Spirit deploys. The Father designs. The Father designed everything that we're living in right now. Come on now. He designed the sun, earth, moon, and stars, and he spoke it all into motion. And as John chapter 1 would tell us, it was through the word in which it happened, Jesus. Jesus comes down onto the earth right around, I want to say, 4 BC. I know, sorry to break your heart. It wasn't at zero. It was a few years before, and it also wasn't in December. Oh gosh, no. Yeah, it was actually probably more like in the spring, maybe even fall, but many people believe the spring. Sorry to break your heart. Why do the holidays fall on that day? Sermon for another day. However, Jesus comes down and says that the word joined us. The word, the declaration of God the Father to the earth about his love for you and for me. Come on now. So Jesus declares, the Father designed everything. Then Jesus declared the will of the Father inside of the world. And then when Jesus went back up to heaven, we received the beauty of this. You ready? The Holy Spirit who deploys. Design, declare, deploy. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit deploys us everywhere we go. This is how we live from, to, and through him. The Spirit of God will send you, give you the gifts, the grace, the love that you need for everything you have. And here's the beauty about the Holy Spirit. You ready for this? I had a conversation with someone just this past Tuesday, and we were pressing in, and they had questions about the Holy Spirit. They said, I just don't understand why that we see him for the first time in the book of Acts when suddenly he comes down on the church. And I said, oh, no, friend. You couldn't be more wrong in that statement. Let me walk with you. We see him in the very first couple verses of the book of Genesis, where it says the Spirit of God hovered over the waters and the face of the earth. And we even see him all the way in the end of the book of Revelation, where it says the Spirit and the bride say, come to the return of Jesus. And here's what's incredible. The Spirit of God is weaved all throughout Scripture, deploying men and women to live for God inside of this world. I want to tell you, you have everything you need on the inside of you, because the Holy Spirit, come on, the Holy Spirit encaptures the grandeur, the majesty, the grace, the power of the Father and Jesus inside of the Spirit. And as soon as you do this, what it says in verse 3, acknowledge that the Lord is God. The Holy Spirit makes his home on the inside of you. And what that means is all the grandeur, the power, the majesty, the grace, the love of God lives inside of you. And he deploys you to express that to the world. Come on, somebody. We are his. And I want to even reframe this just a little bit and press into this idea that the Father designs. He made us and we are his. I was studying a little bit this past week just on the makeup of our bodies. And I read about this a while back, but I pressed into it a little bit more this past week. And it has to do with the laminin molecule. Have any of us ever heard of a laminin molecule? Any of us know? Okay, fantastic. Good. I was pre-med at one point inside of college before, you know, the whole pastor thing. So the laminin molecule exists in every single human being. And the laminin molecule actually, for lack of better words, I'm going to break down a ton of biology for us. For lack of better words, holds everything together. It holds together other molecules, and it's really in many ways the chief of so many processes happening inside of your body right now. Can I tell you what the laminin molecule looks like? It looks like a cross. It looks like a perfect cross. And when I first saw it, my mind was blown and my heart melted, because all I could think was, come on, let me say this without getting emotional. It's the cross that I get to access the Father. It's the cross that I'm even held together inside of my body. Come on. It's the cross. It's Jesus that holds everything together. The Father has designed things in such a way. If he is holding the sun, moon, and stars in place and holding it together, if he's holding our physical bodies together, come on, let me speak hope to you today. Then can't he hold together my marriage? Come on. Then can't he hold together my kids? Come on, somebody, right? Can't he hold together the things that I feel like are falling apart? If he can hold my body together in the shape of a cross inside of my cells, can't he hold together that situation if I give it to him and just acknowledge that he is God? Come on, somebody. He is holding it all together. Woo! And I pray, and I hope this encourages you, because you may feel like everything is falling apart around you. But I want to tell you, God's perfect design inside of the universe is being held together, come on, through the declaration of Jesus, the Word. And the Holy Spirit deploys us to step into hope today and say, God, if you're holding that together, you can hold this together too. And I'm going to quickly breeze through these last couple of verses. You ready? Verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. So I am not a counselor. Let me just let you guys know that. So if any of you try to book an appointment, I'm just going to give you phone numbers. But I'll give counsel, right? I love sitting down and just unpacking life with people. It is one of the joys of my job that is like none other. I love just sitting down and just unpacking life and talking through some of the hurts of the past and how do we find Jesus inside of it. And a couple a while back was asking me to give them marital counsel, marital advice. And I said, sure, I can help with you and walk with you, but I do want to like encourage you, get a counselor. Like they could really jump into this with you, but I could help you find the spiritual and biblical concepts to apply properly. And they said, sure, sounds great. We sit down for our first meeting and they're sharing what they have going on. And I mean, a lot of us are married. We get it. We got some gripes about our spouses. Come on now. Like, let's be honest with ourselves. There is no one that could bring me joy and no one that could bring me grief like my spouse. Come on now. Like, there is no one that could, because it's like when you put your cup in that place on the counter, it's like, I know you did it with an attitude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm talking about, right? Like, if I find the towel on the floor one more time, right? Husbands, the hair is everywhere. My gosh, it's like, how? If I pull one more hair out of the back of my shirt, it's like I thought a spider was on my neck. Anyway, so I digress. My wife and I have fun, just so you know. We play with each other. I'm sitting down in this meeting, and they're sharing their grief, their gripes with each other. And I said, here's our main point we're walking away with out of this meeting, right? Here's the main thing we're coming away with. I want you guys to start journaling, and I want you to write down every single day what you're grateful for that other person. So write down what you're grateful for pertaining to them. And then I want you to share it with them. And they looked at me, they said, we can't do that. I said, sure you can. If you want to win, you can do it. I promise. God will give you the grace to do it. You can do it. It's not too hard. You can do this. And here's what amazed me. They started doing it that very week. The very next week, we sat down and they looked at me and said, the landscape of our marriage has changed. Everything has changed because we started realizing that we are grateful for the other person. Because here's the reality, right? The hair in the back of my shirt, it drives me crazy. But here's the reality. I'm grateful my wife does my laundry. Come on now. The cup on the place in the counter might drive me nuts. However, I'm grateful that my wife, when I'm running and gunning, when we're preaching to teenagers and we're seeing young people come to Jesus, when we see God moving, she gifts me by doing the dishes on that night so that we can be together and see God move, right? Be grateful for the people around you. I want to challenge you. This is a challenge of gratitude today. I want to challenge you to get grateful for the things around you and the people around you. Write them down. I am grateful that my boss challenges me. I am grateful that my spouse, I'm going to speak to watchers, right? I'm grateful that my spouse cuts the lawn, right? Husbands, I'm grateful that my wife loves me when I'm impatient. Come on now, right? I'm grateful because it expresses an attitude that we're supposed to have towards God, to the people around us. The attitude of gratitude will change your life overnight. Get grateful. And this is a challenge I have for you. Get grateful and start declaring what you're grateful for every single day. I have a journal. It's right here. And in my journal, every single day, this is what I study the Bible in. When I'm writing my notes, the first thing I write down is, what am I grateful for today? What do I have to be grateful for? I am so grateful that I have the opportunity to pastor inside of one of the best churches around. I'm so grateful that I have an incredible family, a healthy baby boy who is way, way, way too cute for his own good, right? I have a lot to be grateful for. And I want to tell you, come on, church, you have a lot to be grateful for. We have to shift our way of thinking and shift our heart with an attitude of gratitude. And I close with this, for the Lord is good, verse 5. And his faithful love endures forever, his faithfulness through all generations. God is good, his love endures forever, and his faithfulness extends through every single generation. Now I'm closing with this verse right here. This right here is a verse that is echoed all throughout the Bible. This was not originated inside of this book. This is a verse that was echoed from other areas inside of the Bible, one of which is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 through 14. If you're a note taker, write it down, go read it later, because it is pure gold. When the priests, when the people of the temple came together and they all started worshiping together, and it says they made a joyful noise unto the Lord, something special happened. They were sitting there making a joyful noise, and they're repeating over and over again, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Another way of saying mercy, faithful love, enduring love, endures forever. And as they're praising God in this way, it says that a cloud filled the temple and they could no longer worship. They could no longer sing the song they were singing, because I have a feeling, just based on conviction of scripture, that when we look at God and say, God, it may not feel good right now, but I know you're good. God, I may not see the enduring nature of what you're doing right now, but God, I'm going to endure with you. My God, you are good and your faithful love endures forever. Here's what happens. It says the cloud or the presence of God filled the temple. They can no longer sing. The presence of God will fill your life like none other. Come on now. It will change your life just by the presence of God showing up, by you declaring his goodness inside of your life, even when we don't see it yet. So come on. For the Lord is good and his faithful love endures forever. Come on. It's been so good jumping into you with Psalm chapter 100. I saw the one question. What was the verse again? It was 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 through 14. But let's pray. And I just want to believe God that he's going to do something incredible inside of your life today as we press into the different things of making the shout, serving with joy. Come on, acknowledging that Jesus is Lord, the Lord is God, knowing that he made us and he's holding everything together, pressing in with an attitude of gratitude and declaring, even when we don't see it, God, you are good and your presence is filling my life. Come on, let's pray together. Father, thank you. Lord, I'm so grateful that Holy Spirit, you're living inside of us, that God, you're deploying us, empowering us to live for you and love you. So God, I just pray, help us have an attitude of gratitude, even if we don't feel that way. Help us to live in your enduring love, even when we don't see it. And God, I just pray, give us a grace to make that shout unto you. And we praise in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you guys. Have an incredible day.